Hello, everyone, and welcome to Teeth Matter, the podcast where I bring in guests that are dentists, dental entrepreneurs, who are navigating their careers, and we learn from each other. And the guest I have today really gets that sense of, like, community, the value of community, the value of learning from each other. He is an oral maxillofacial surgeon now, which is a big, big moment for him. And we're going to talk about that. I'm so proud of him for that journey. And then also he has his own podcast where he does the same. And so we're going to chat it up. We've done this conversation together before. I've been on his podcast. So welcome my friend, Brendan Gallagher.
Thank you, Ellie. My friend as well.
How are you doing today? Yeah.
How's everything going?
I'm great. I've been watching the latest updates on your Instagram, and there's so much that's been happening for you. I mean, like I said, you just finished your four-year residency program, which is huge. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
I feel great. Great. I grossly underestimated the, you know, when you move into a new place, it's like you're moving all your stuff into an empty place. But moving from my apartment in Manhattan, Kips Bay, to the house I grew up in on Long Island, but, like, you know, my dad's here, and it's like a full house. So, you know, it takes like a day to get everything in the U-Haul and drive all the way out. But then moving in, it's like all of a sudden it's 4 days to get everything in my room, and then it's like everything in the garage. It's like I'm all over the place, but I guess that comes with the the activity.
Of course. I mean, there's so much that goes on with moving, but also, like, isn't it strange for you not to have to run to the hospital? I mean, you were on call 24/7, and now you don't need to be there. Does that not feel different?
It's amazing. I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, just as dentists in general, we get home. It's built. It's pushed into us. It's forced into us. You're constantly working. You're constantly thinking, studying, learning, and we would actually make the best entrepreneurs because we're so used to always working. But then understanding that you work initially for free, dental school in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Same with any creating any company. It's the same thing. You work for free up front until you gain the reputation, the clients, and kind of that exposure, the marketing side of it to get new clients, and then you finally make more money. That's exactly dentistry, right? 4 years for free work in school, learning, training, whatever. The money, the school pretty much just abusing you for the work.
Definitely being abused.
Yeah, and then you work your way out and after you graduate, and it's just understanding that it's literally the same thing, and then countering that. It's like absorbing that, owning it, swallowing it, and saying that I did it in dentistry, and anyone could do this. Now it's time to do it for my interest in music, my interest in cooking, whatever it may be. I think, you know, there's just the sky's the limit in that regard.
Yeah. So now that the sky's the limit, what are you thinking about your next steps? I know it's silly to ask, like, what kind of OS do you want to be, but there's a lot that you can do. I mean, you can be picking out wisdom teeth all the day, or you can do more like reconstructive surgery, or you can go into academia and you be an attending if you wanted to. Like, what is it that you see for yourself?
Yeah, and that's a great question. So far, you know, like 99% of oral surgeons start to work their way away from that hospital setting, work their way away from the orthognathic surgery, the bigger trauma surgery. And as much as I really actually do enjoy the orthognathic surgery, it's fun to do. It's an amazing thing that we're trained to do. But then, you know, you have to take off from the office to do this, and then the ROI of that, you're losing money at the end of the day. And now it's not about money, but it's about, like, just the quality of your life doing that kind of work consistently. It starts to get a little bit, I don't know, like, you need hospital privileges in order to do the surgeries in a hospital. In order to get hospital privileges, I was asking around, and in Connecticut, they'll pay you $7,000 a month to take call at their hospital. When you take call, you're working overnight, you got to take a call in the middle of the night, you got to go in maybe. Other states, they'll pay you $5,000 to $7,000. On Long Island, they're not paying any money to any oral surgeon to take call. That's what I've been just talking to several oral surgeons there. They're like, nope, I don't get paid for this. And then at some hospitals, you actually have to pay them to put an application every single year. So you're literally fresh off the bat losing money. You're not getting the support you need. Everyone's telling me you're going to the hospital. Instruments are missing. You're working with a new scrub tech. Maybe you need to get an assistant in there. It has nothing about dentistry. And, you know, that's a lot of distractions from, I'm doing orthognathic surgery to change this patient's face and ultimately change their confidence and their life.
Right.
I need everything all lined up to get a smooth surgery. And how many surgeries are smooth until maybe the 10th, 20th one? Anyway, so I could talk year off about that stuff, but obviously private practice honing to the office setting, wisdom teeth, implants, all NX cases, sedations, and then where it's feasible, I'd have to work with like two or three other partners to make this process smooth to do the big cases in the hospital setting. And I'd love to do them there because it's safer. It's much more protected, but yeah. Right. Anyway.
No, I mean, I didn't never thought about it that way. I thought at a hospital, at least there would be some consistency just because there has to be some quality control. You know, they have the resources. Yeah, sometimes they're on budgets and like it can be a little scrappy, but at least there is room for you to do something. And I thought maybe you can take your cases from private practice and take them there and do them like you just said. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. But, you know, now that you're going
surprise
through this.
Surprise for me too.
Yeah, which is sad because so much commitment goes into being an attending or being, you know, so at the hospital. Like, it's not easy at all. It takes a toll on the quality of life, for
exactly,
sure.
Exactly, that too. That's probably the number one thing. Because all this stuff, all these distractions, everything adds up. And it's like, if you can't deliver that ultimate experience for the patient, regardless of what it is on you, if that's not an ultimate experience for the patient, that's just, I mean, you're going to be in the ICU for overnight. And you're, some people have like surgical centers where they could do it in an outpatient setting, right, or they get them to go home the first night. I was taught, get them to stay overnight at least one day, monitor their airway, their blood loss, get their H&H, right, you know, like hemoglobin, make sure it didn't drop below a significant value. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes going forward, you know?
So now that you've probably had only like 4 days to get yourself settled in, but like, where do you, have you got a job lined up? Are you even looking yet? Are you taking some time off? What does the next couple of weeks look like for you?
Oh yeah. And thanks for asking this question, because I wanted to make it more of a, like a ping tennis or ping pong back and forth, because I know you had, we've been talking about your different jobs, stuff's lined up. It's been like 2 weeks now. I had my engagement and I proposed to my now fiance and the graduation dinner all on the same day, because that was like the date that was just picked.
What else can you pack in a day? Like graduating, getting engaged, graduation party. Like what else can you do, Brendan?
It's just, you got to pack it in, right? We got so little time in this world and you just got to make the most of it. But
congrats on that too. I mean, I love that for you. Everything came full circle, and like it's like you really leveled up at everything. You leveled up at the same time.
Everything ramped up. It was like, oh, what a grand finale, right? And whoever did see the content, I'm sorry, I put out like 2 weeks of just different graduation content. So I'm sorry for how annoying and like kind of.
Don't apologize. It's like totally, you deserve the spotlight, my friend.
No. I mean, spotlight's earned. It's not given. And I think I kind of like abused. Like too much of whatever you want to call it, views or whatever. It's about the next chapter. I just wanted to kind of, but anyway. I got a job lined up. I start in mid-August.
Amazing.
And it's going to be private practice setting. I got it down to one office, Monday through Friday, no weekends. I could take call if I want to. I got to see how that's going to work with hospital privileges, like I mentioned before. But so mid-August I start. Now it's just going to be a little traveling before then and keeping the podcast going. While traveling, so you know how that stuff goes. It's like you gotta keep your passions going. So people, they just put their passions to the side and hone in on dental school, hone in on residency, hone in on that job, which is going to be us over these next couple of years, right?
Right.
But you're still keeping the podcast going, getting those side stuff. You've been running a lot more too.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I trained for a half marathon, and the half marathon happened in April. I've been running a little less since then, just because I feel like my body hit a wall, but I'm definitely still active. I was not a runner before. I call myself a runner now. I just, it was really therapeutic, and it's all about the discipline and like investing in yourself other than just work, you know? And you see what your body and your mind is capable of. That was what running was for me, or is for me now, actually.
Tell me about this wall that you said you hit, quote unquote wall. Like what was going on? Was that May? Was that after April, after the marathon in April, or?
I was going through some changes before. I've always been working in two offices at the same time. So after I left an FQHC, after my first year outside of residency, I've been working like two and two. And obviously each dental environment is different and you don't really know what you're looking for. And you kind of always want to fit this mold. You go for a job and you're like, yes, I can do this. They'll be like, Ellie, can you do root canals? Be like, yeah, I do root canals. Ellie, do you do this? Yeah, I do this. Like whatever you want me to be, I'll be, right? Just give me the job. And you realize that like that is not how you want to do it. Yeah, you want to make money, but if it's not really the place that you're looking for, you probably shouldn't try to fit in, okay? Because at the end of the day, after you spend so much time there, it's only just going to become like more and more claustrophobic. You know, you don't want to show up to work. You don't enjoy the environment. You don't enjoy your coworkers. You're not doing the dentistry you want to do. So you just hate being there. And so I felt like I was in that kind of environment the last couple months. And I was let go of one of the offices. And I took that as an opportunity to just like focus on the podcast and myself and the running and then looking for a new job, right? So yeah, it was a bit of a like an uncomfortable month where I was like, I don't know what's coming up next. But for the first time in my life, I was not uneasy about it because I was like, you know what? It always works out. Like, I'm going to figure it out. Like, I'm finally going to look for the job that I actually want. I'm going to take the time to like figure out what it is that I really want to be, what kind of environment, where do I want to commute, do I not want to commute. So I really became intentional with what I was looking for, and we made it happen.
And that's exactly how I have to go about it. I think we talked about this on the last podcast. This is like a year ago, and we were saying how it's kind of like a relationship as far as finding that perfect job. It's all about compatibility. You can say with a relationship, you could say with a job. And you were saying how you were trying to mold into the position you were looking for, which, you know, in a way, at least doing it at first, that is good. You learn more about yourself and the job that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And you get to get an idea of what's actually out there and what people are looking for, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with a relationship. But you need to find that puzzle piece that matches your puzzle piece perfectly. And you're finding that. You're so close to it. Now, you were saying the first Sunday in a while without Sunday scaries.
It sounds silly, but that's a huge win. Like, I'm finally in an office. I'm working in two offices now. I'm finally in, you know, the schedule lines up in a way that, like, my Monday isn't scary. I'm going to work with people that I actually enjoy spending time with and that I'm, like, enjoy hanging out with. The assistants are friendly and they listen and they respect me. You know, they're not rolling their eyes when I ask them for something. Like, it's actually really good. And the commute is much better. Like, it's 20 minutes door to door. So, like, it's something that I look forward to. And then I'm teaching at NYU now, and that's fun. And I get to be with students who seem like, you know, they tell me that I've been a good influence or a good impact on them, which is really rewarding. And then I have another practice end of the week where I'm doing in a prosthodontic office where now I get to do more aesthetic cases and a little bit more like high-end dentistry, comprehensive dentistry, which is what I was looking for. So like it's all worked out and we're really happy and no more Sunday scaries.
Thank God. Thank God. That just, I wish that on no one. I hope everyone could find that ultimate opportunity or the collage of opportunities where they're just excited to go. Now, wait, let's take a step back for a second because I really wanted to get into this with you. It is so, there's so many dentists out there. I mean, I don't want to say the S word, but the suicide rate in dentistry, it's not on a low end and it hasn't been going lower. And just mental health in general is so important. How long do you think it takes someone, just say on average, to actually find their stride in creating or finding those perfect opportunities for their lifestyle, for their quality of life, for their interests in dentistry, for, you know what I mean?
I mean, I can't put a timeline on it, but it definitely takes effort. Like, you have to really invest in yourself and you have to be okay with being uncomfortable and taking the time to figure it all out. Like, investing in yourself is not easy. It requires a lot of attention. Sometimes you have to say no to things like friends and family because you need to take the time to sit with your feelings and your interests and explore what those are, you know? Mm. And you don't know what they are, so you might try something and you don't like it, but then you'll feel like it's wasted time. But it actually isn't, you know? You learn from it, or you're like, okay, no, I gave it a shot and now I'm going to move on to something else. And it's all about learning perspective too. Like, you know, read some books on self-help or entrepreneurship. Because that helps you get ahead, right? You learn from others in that way too. It's not just building relationships. It's also learning from people who have had the experience and have written these books. So it takes time. It definitely takes time. That's all I can say. But it's something that everyone should do because a lot of what we do now in dentistry, I think the reason why I am happy is because I'm more confident as a person. And I'm, you know, like, I don't give two shits anymore of what people think about me. Like, I am who I am, and I'm happy about where I am and where I am in life, and that's it, you know?
Yeah. How much of that came from creating content? Because that could be iffy, and not iffy, but it could be, like, a little shaky in the beginning where it's like, oh, what are they going to think about this post? Oh, how am I going to look in that post? What are they going to say about this? And then you finally get that comment where it's like, Jesus Christ, this is just... It could ruin your day. Have you ever gotten a comment that just completely obliterates your day and you're like, how do I respond to this? Is like, are other people thinking this?
Yeah.
What
am
I doing? You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. And then you're overthinking your word choices because you want to come off better than what's the situation is. And also like talk about like wasting time trying to post the perfect post. Like it's just overthinking and overthinking. It's like now I'm over that stage. Like I said, like I don't give two shits anymore. Like I am who I am. And if you vibe with me and you see me, then great. You're going to be, you know, part of this community. And if you don't, that's fine too. Like I'm not for everyone. But my whole point is to share my story. So, a lot of that does come from content creation, because in the beginning I was definitely not comfortable expressing myself on camera. It's not easy to hear yourself or look at yourself on video.
It's tough.
But it's you get more and more comfortable, and that like I said, you become comfortable with being vulnerable.
Yes, comfortable with being vulnerable, and then that goes back to finding that perfect job opportunity, right? Because then you get used to being vulnerable, but you could take it to a certain extent, and then you're like, nope, this isn't for me. Or you're like, yes, this is for me. I want more of it.
Yeah. You know? And totally, like in an interview, like you go in there with a lot more ease because you're like, hey, this is me. This is what I'm looking for. And then, it just flows a lot better. I realize that even the way I carry myself in an interview now is just completely different.
Yeah. Can you tell me about that a little bit more? The difference between an interview in the beginning, maybe 1, 2, 3 years ago, and then interviews now, what like you're, you know what I mean? What do you do differently? Do you have a little prep?
Okay, so prep for interview. I don't prep for interview. Obviously, like you want to know where you're going, what the office looks like. Maybe you look up their website and whatnot. But you look up the practice owner. But I would go in there, and I remember like right out of residency, there was an opportunity to work on a Fifth Avenue practice, private practice, and I was nervous, and I was like, I really wanted them to want me, and basically, I probably came off desperate, right? Like I probably was just like, you know, sitting there like wanting them to want me, and everything that they said, I tried to like please them, like I said before, Ellie, do you do this? Do you do that? And I was like, yes, I do. I'm willing to learn. I want to do this. I want to do that. So then to be honest, at that time, I just didn't know what I wanted. I just wanted to work somewhere nice, right? And I thought Fifth Avenue sounded nice and sounded like big bucks. And I was like, this is what I want. But they weren't paying the big bucks. And eventually I said no to them. But I realized that kind of behavior carried me around from office to office because I didn't have the experience, and I didn't know much about what offices have to offer or how offices run or what type of dentists there are out there. Not all dentists are quality dentists, you know what I mean? And some of them are greedy dentists. And so you get to see what environments look like, and you learn from that, and then you kind of start to become a little bit more picky, or I wouldn't say picky because picky has a negative connotation to it, but like particular, you know? You become particular about like who you want to put up with and who you don't want to put up with.
And why,
exactly. So then as you learn all of that, then you have a little bit more leverage and you have a little bit more, you know, you have more weight in terms of who you are when you're in that interview.
Yeah. And so let's go into the is it 2 or 3 positions now? Because now you confuse me a little bit there.
So I work in 2 offices and then I have the NYU role.
Yes. I'll let you take a sip.
No. Go. Ask the question.
Let's put it through this way. In terms of Monday through Friday or Monday through Sunday, just can we go through like which offices you're at and when? Are they fee for service? Are they private practice? Are they DSO? Are they fee for service? Or do they take insurances? And then which day or two, or you know, what days are you at the school? And then when you're in the school.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in 2 offices. The first office is on 35th Street and 7th Avenue. It's an fee-for-service PPO office, okay? Basically, very clean office, up-to-date, nothing fancy about it, but, you know, modern office, as you would call it. And that's where the office where they have a lot of space. It's everyone's friendly. Assistants don't roll their eyes. You know, it was just really reassuring. And then I ended up meeting a few dentists there who are friends of friends, you know, and it's like, oh, we're all connected somehow. So that was also kind of inviting and warming. So that was nice. And I'm there Mondays and Wednesdays, and I'm doing like your bread and butter dentistry there. I'm new there, so I'm also building my schedule. So that's been a little bit of a transition too, like trying to pull patients for same day treatment out of hygiene rooms and whatnot. That's been a bit challenging because I want to be producing. And it's summer and I find it's harder to fill that while people are like now going away, they have kids, you know, it's a little bit, July 4th is coming, it's not as full, but I do have hope in this office.
It's beginning.
It's the beginning.
How long have you been there?
It's literally been like a month. Yeah. Like I got fired from that last job in April and wait, hold on. March, April. No, I got fired end of April. May, I took the time to figure myself out. And then we started June.
And fire, yeah. I mean, firing sounds like a very, that's a very.
I got let go. How about that? Word. I got let go. Let go.
That's much better. Much better.
I got let go because of a difference in philosophy. But yeah, and honestly, I was really happy. Somebody once told me, it was Ryan Coulon. I had interviewed him. He was one of my first guests. And he was like, when you fire someone, you're freeing up their future. And I thought of it that way. I was like, you know what? They just freed up my future. I didn't want to be there anyways. Like now I have the fire under my ass just to like go for it.
Yeah. And to stay true to your philosophy. That's so important. Can you just, you don't have to go into the difference in philosophy, although I'm sure listeners would love to listen to it. Can you just just briefly, super in depth of what your philosophy is and what you're sticking to and not straying away from? Is that a good
one? I'm happy to talk about it. So in this other office, they were just doing hygiene and comprehensive exams and treatment planning. There was no actual clinical dentistry being done. And when I would go to see a patient after a hygiene appointment and I was going over their diagnostics, one patient had like pockets of 10 millimeters, right? And it had mobility. And it was obviously a perio patient, right? And I said, this patient needs to be seen by perio, like refer to a specialist. And the head of the operations was like, why would you send this patient to perio? I was like, well, our scaling and root planing isn't going to be sufficient to take care of this patient. I mean, from what I was taught in dental school, like this patient needs maybe a surgical intervention, you know, to take care of their needs. Anyways, that's what caused the drift. And so I was let go because I was a team player, I guess, in keeping the patient in-house. And that's okay, because to me, I didn't think I was doing right by the patient. Right? I'm not a periodontist is a periodontist because periodontist is a specialty of dentistry. Like, I am by no means a periodontist and I don't know what this patient needs. So I'm not going to pretend like I do and avoid the care that they need. Right? So that's where that happened. And like I said, they freed up my future because I wanted to switch jobs. I just was being a little bit lazy or I wasn't actively looking. And then when that happened, then I had like this real initiative, like felt the initiative to actually take charge.
Yeah. So let's come back. So now, new practice, and that was excellent, by the way. And I love how you were saying that, you know, periodontics is a specialty for a reason. And then 10 millimeter pockets, what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
You know, that's, like you said, it's probably going to need more than just deep, you know, deep cleanings, you know, the SRPs. But back to your current position now, Monday and Wednesday. And congrats, by the way, because you're only a month in and this is going to build and grow. You're surrounded by people, you know, that you're friendly with. That's so important to be in a good environment and culture like that. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. What? So you said Fridays, you're going to be at the prosthodontist.
Yeah. So Monday and Wednesdays, I'm at the Midtown West location. And then Thursdays and Fridays, I'm at this new office. It's called Smile House. It's been created by a prosthodontist and his name is Dr. Jonathan Levine. And he's created this whole, like, it's a beautiful office. Like, I've never seen such a sexy office, number one. Like, you just want to hang out there. But two, he approaches dentistry differently. Like, he's trying to bring longevity into dentistry. And dentistry is a part of medicine. Like, there shouldn't be a separation, right? And with all of the research now and all of these conversations around longevity, doctors and thought leaders, like, there is a connection between your oral health and your systemic health, right? Yep. And people don't know much about it, but now they're wanting to learn. So he's creating that opportunity for patients to learn. And so it's an amazing approach. And I'm excited to be there because that's how I live my life, right? I'm very much into health and fitness. And so I get to see that there and do that type of dentistry there, which is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, we got to get you back running again. How often are you running right now? Because you said you took a little break. That's normal.
I took a little break. And when I say break, I was like running once every other week. I haven't gone for a run in a while, which is not good on me. But
I'm
not running.
It's so hot out.
It's also so hot. It's humid. Like, the air is thick. How am I going to get through?
I almost drowned in my own sweat last week running in that 100-degree day. But yeah, and I wouldn't recommend that to anyone listening. That's like, I could have gone to the doctor after that one. But it's tough right now to pick up running. It's like springtime and fall time is like everyone wants to get out and start running before
the
summer starts or like before the holidays come. Yeah. Everyone starts eating a little bit more.
Have you ever done a half marathon or any type of marathon?
I've done just 5Ks. Just 5Ks. The half marathon is 13.1,
yeah.
I wouldn't do a full marathon. I think that's too much pressure and stress and like wear and tear on the joints.
Fair.
And I really try and think more longevity. I do know I have a heavier upper body on my knees, my hips, my ankles. So I try and just stick to that 3 to 5 miles tops.
Okay.
Because then I run 3 times a week. I try and get 3 times.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
even in this heat?
Yeah. Even I hit 3 last week. I hit 3 the week before. This week, I think it's only going to come out to 2 runs this week.
Yeah.
Because fishing yesterday, I had a music producing day Sunday, had a golfing day Saturday. You know, it's like, it's my time off. I want to see friends and family.
Yeah, of course.
Stuff, so.
No, but good on you. No, I got to get back into it. I definitely have been slacking a little bit. I do go to the gym and I do yoga. So like, I keep myself active. Like, it's not just running that I do.
Right.
But it's nice to like change it up a little bit because I feel like your body starts to plateau. Like, you know, if you do one thing consistently, your body just starts to not respond. So I got to keep it exciting.
Right. You know what? Maybe you'll take something from this. The way I switch it up is if I'm doing just like a flat surface run, so just not too much hills or not on the treadmill doing incline, I'll try and get at least that 4 miles in and then couple that with an ab workout, whether it's running to a track 2 miles away, doing an ab workout on the track, running back, gives the 4 miles a little bit of a break, but hit your core and then you get that cardio in. If I'm in the gym, I'll do a incline interval workout. So every tenth of a mile for a mile, I'll switch up to 12 incline to 4. I always go stay minimum at 4 incline.
Okay.
But playing around with the incline and then staying at a nice at a flat incline, but changing up the speeds every tenth of a mile too.
Yeah.
That could make a nice workout. That's an idea.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And then if you're also running outside, like sprints, picking like lampposts, for example, if you're running around your neighborhood, and just doing like different sprints. Rest, start a jog, but not walk, never walking. And I don't know, it's fun to mess things around because a lot of people say like, oh, I hate running or I hate running on a treadmill. And it's like, use that treadmill to say every tenth of a mile, I'm going to switch the incline up. And you burn more calories. It keeps you kind of engaged. And I don't know, I don't hear enough people talking about how to utilize that technology to your advantage, you know, to burn more calories in less amount of time.
Yeah,
everyone's about that, right?
Oh, totally. Everyone wants that efficiency. But wait, are you a morning workout person or an evening workout person?
Oof, I would love. That's such a great question. I want to know yours too. I would love to be doing workouts in the morning, but I feel like morning is like your mind is most alert in the morning. And as soon as I wake up, I will do a 10-minute ab workout every weekday in the morning. But after that, I do 1 to 2 hours of like work, you know, social media work before either heading into the hospital or heading into work. So I end up doing my like hour long workout at the end of the day. What about you?
Yeah. Me, I'm a morning person. I feel like if I don't do it in the morning, then I lose out. Like I want to be able to move mountains. And I feel like I do that in the morning. Like I'm just ready to go. Even though today, like it took a little bit of effort to get out of bed. But once I was there, I just feel so much more productive, you know?
Yeah. What time are you getting up? Say Monday or Wednesday on an office day. What time do you have to get up to be able to hit that workout before work? You know what I mean?
So, I mean, usually I wake up at like 6 or 6:30. If I'm really pushed, like being lazy, I'll wake up 6:30 and maybe I get like a half an hour workout in. But just even that half an hour, I'm happy to do it. You know, it makes a huge difference in my mood. And I feel a lot more fresh and like, you know, I feel like I'm working at 110% if that's what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that's
my bigger workouts usually happen like the weekends.
Bigger workouts on the week, right? Because you have more time.
Yeah, more time. Yeah.
Crunched for like, you could do stuff. Now, here's my question, and you don't have to answer this. I'll start it off. I sweat a lot, so if I work out in the morning, which I used to do, if I don't get like an hour in before work, which is like now you gotta get up sub 5:30, sub 5 to work out, and then get an hour of rest in to kind of let your body cool down. Otherwise, I'll just be sweating into work for 2 or 3 hours. Does that happen to you at all?
I mean, I definitely do sweat, but I come home, I take a shower, I have my little coffee, and sometimes I even take my coffee to the gym. Like, I have in my the same exact cup. I don't take a mug. I'll walk into the gym with this. And like, I have no shame, but what do you call it? So I'll show up with my coffee, do my workout, come home, shower, and then I'm out. Like, I mean, I have no choice, right? Like, I can't bring myself to wake up at 5 a.m. It's not possible. Like, I love my sleep too much, and I think sleep is just as important as working out. So, I try to get as much sleep as I can, get something in, and then make a day of it.
Oh, and then that's another point. If you get a full, I just did it last night. I got a full, it was like 8 or 9 hours of sleep. I haven't had that in a long time. But then working out after a night, a full night's rest like that, the workout's so much better and more efficient.
Oh, man.
Would you agree?
Oh, totally. You're just so much more pumped.
Yeah. So much more. You're pumped, you're full, you're fresh, you're ready to go. And then I feel like you don't get tired as quickly, too.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. Do you take supplements?
Just right now, I'm taking a probiotic for I want to be able to drink milk again. I want to eat cheesecake. I've been lactose intolerant for like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to eat pizza again and not have to think about the consequences.
Yeah. No, but I hear you. I didn't think I'd be a supplement person, but I am taking creatine, and then I take magnesium and zinc and vitamin D. And omega-3s, but that's about it. And then I take magnesium L-threonate for sleep.
Let's break these supplements down a little bit. Which ones do you take for why? And then the magnesium, that can make you a little tired, right? Do you take that in the mornings?
So one magnesium L-threonate I use for sleep, that puts me out. It doesn't make me groggy, but it gives me sound sleep, uninterrupted sleep.
Ooh.
So I feel like I get a deep sleep and I wake up not groggy. Great. I recommend it. I'll show you a picture. Then I take there's another magnesium that I take for muscle recovery because of the workouts. And then the creatine also for metabolism and mitochondrial efficiency.
Yeah. Creatine has showed the research on creatine shows that a lot. It also adds a little bit of water, like it opens up your cells for water weight. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if anyone's listening, obviously you do this, drinking a lot of water, right? Cause it can really severely dehydrate yourself. If you're not having any water at baseline, and then you add creatine into the diet, you're working out a little bit more, working out a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people just get headaches the next day, completely wiped out. Not necessarily like hospitalization from dehydration, but...
No, I mean, I don't think it's that bad. And it used to be the suggested dosage was 5 grams. Now it's 10 grams. Mm-hmm. So the new study showed 10 grams is even better. And it really helps, I feel like, with muscle definition. Like... I do feel, I don't know, maybe it's just a little bit of a placebo, but I do feel that it does something more. I don't know.
Yeah, excellent. And then zinc for immunity is fantastic. What was, you said magnesium, sleeping
muscles. And
then
vitamin D.
Vitamin D. Oh,
yeah.
A lot of studies were showing some of the people, I didn't look into it too much, but like the correlation between people that got really affected by COVID-19 were so severely deficient vitamin D, right? You saw
that. I heard about that too. Yeah. No, but I mean, it's just essential for everything. I mean, vitamin D also for your bone structure, your bone density too, you know. I think vitamin D was also linked to, I could be very wrong, but like cognitive decline. So lack vitamin D, and then high risk of dementia. So, I mean, you got to take care of your body. And we're in a profession where we're really draining ourselves emotionally, physically, mentally. You need to invest in yourself, and part of this goes back to our earlier conversation, and part of that is making sure that you take care of your body, that you're eating the right nutrients, that you're eating healthy, that you're getting adequate sleep, all those things. These add up to, I don't know how to put this, but like it's kind of like self-respect, right? Like how much you take care of yourself. So important.
Very important. Very important. You want to go into diet a little bit? What's your weekly routine on dieting? Do you cook? Do you meal prep?
I should meal prep, but I don't. I do cook. So I'll do like a grocery run on Sundays. And then most of my food is just protein and side dishes. I don't really do carbs. If I do carbs, maybe it's a side of bread, naan, or something with my meal, or maybe a cup of rice. But most of my meals are like steak with veggies, and usually dark green veggies or a side of salad. So it's steak. I alternate with salmon, shrimp, or chicken. So that's like, I don't have like these gourmet meals happening, but it's just very clean.
Yeah.
And obviously summer's here in the city. I want to go out and I see friends, and I don't restrict myself in that sense. So like, if I'm not eating every meal at home, that's okay too. Like I'll go out, I'll see friends, but I try to eat clean or make clean choices when I'm out too.
Oh, that's so important. Yeah, we got to eat clean. And are you avoiding like things like seed oils, or have you been doing that?
No, I'm not really particular about that. I mean, outside, I feel like you can't avoid anything because you don't know what they're cooking with. But at home, I use coconut oil or olive oil, extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah. The coconut oil.
Yeah.
Fiance has been using too.
Yeah.
What about for breakfast? Because you're not having like steak for breakfast, right?
No, I'm not having steak for breakfast. Sometimes steak and eggs if I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, that's might be top of the top. Yeah. That one's actually excellent.
So interestingly enough, I was never a breakfast person. Like I just didn't grow up having breakfast really. I'd just go straight to school. Usually a coffee on the way. And coffee was like the first thing I have in the morning. It wakes up my soul. But now I've realized that eating something really changes my mood before getting to work. So I don't go to work anxious or hangry, you know, like I give myself a buffer by just having something small in the morning, whether that's like a fruit or like a cereal, like, you know, Magic Spoon. Have you heard of Magic Spoon?
No.
It's like this high protein, healthy cereal alternative. So it has a very low sugar content. Very high protein content for that reason. So it's for people who are like in the fitness space. So,
oh, I like that.
Yeah. So like Magic Spoon or, I don't know, yogurt with fruits or cheese and avocado, something's like in that combination, or maybe two eggs before I get to work so that I don't feel short by like 11 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that too. Speaking of like different proteins and the eggs, I'm sure you've seen the RX bar.
Yes, I've seen. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I love to have one
like
of those in the morning. It's pretty bare bones. It's just like, I forget if it's prunes or something.
Yeah.
I forget it was for it's a little bit of sugar, but it's natural sugar. And then I think it's like 3 egg whites. So you're getting 12 grams of just raw natural protein in this bar. I'll have one of those and oatmeal in the morning. Get that fiber in.
Love
fill
oatmeal.
Your stomach a little bit.
Yeah.
You won't get hungry right away. So I usually make it to like 11 o'clock in the morning, not feeling deprived of any food at all, and then have a banana late in the morning. Grilled chicken salad for lunch. I switch up the salad dressings throughout the week, and then I order Made Meals, which is like a natural, local grown, organic meal service. I'll do 4 of those meals a week, and then Fridays usually, you know, eating with other people or whatever it may be.
Do you snack during the day?
Just that I really just try to have for a snack that banana late in the morning, like 11, 12 o'clock. Lunch is usually around like 1, 2 o'clock. So it kind of breaks it up, you know? That's really it. Just like banana or fruit, like you said in the morning.
Yeah. No, but the breakfast thing really, I mean, there is science behind it. Like if you think about it, like if you consume food, right, regardless of whatever food it is, you're taking in, your body's breaking down glucose, right? So your sugar levels are going up. If you don't have that and you're going throughout the day, you're going to have a crash, right? So that crash results in irritability. And that's when my mood shifts, right? So knowing that I'm having breakfast and like getting that fuel completely, completely changes my attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing you were mentioning when you were younger, just going and no breakfast, but also having coffee. I feel like sometimes having a little bit of caffeine on an empty stomach. Okay. This one, but like if you're some people, so you're going to take a test, you're having 2 cups of coffee or more or whatever it may be. That's more than usual. That might like really hit your bloodstream fast and get like jittery, like anxious.
Oh, totally. You don't realize it, but that can definitely make you anxious. And I think over time, if you're not eating anything and maybe insulating your stomach, having all of that acidity is not healthy for your gut, because eventually a lot of people end up having ulcers, you know, which is a terrible thing. And that causes more problems later in the future, right? So you got to, like I said, you got to take care of your body too.
That's right. Yeah, the ulcers, empty stomach, caffeine, acidity, stress, just getting blasted by all these things in the morning. God forbid you have an H. pylori infection in your stomach on top of that.
Yeah.
You probably are going to get an ulcer. You know who needs that, especially while you're in dental school, while you're in residency, you're just starting out.
You don't need more problems. Point. You're too young to have these problems.
So what's going on the rest of the week, the rest of the day? Anything coming up this summer? Any travel plans?
Actually, I'm looking to travel end of August. I always love going away during that time just because I feel like it extends the feel of summer for me. You know, everyone's like, I watch everyone else do their summer vacation and I feel like summer's coming to an end. And then all of a sudden, by the grace of God, end of August, I'm away. And I'm like, yes. I'm going to go to Europe. So I usually do like a beach vacation. I like going, relaxing by the water. I feel very like at peace when I'm there. So I'm going to go to Montenegro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How long?
About 2 weeks.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Who are you going with?
Usually I travel with friends and my sister. We have like this little group. So we'll all go together.
Have you been there before?
No, I haven't. It's been on my bucket list since I was a kid. A family friend of ours was from Montenegro, and so it's always been like this place in my mind, this magical place. So I will go this year, and I want to go before it gets too like commercialized, you know. I don't want it to be Americanized. I'm trying to get there before all the tourists get there.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah. Once that kind of, I haven't been there. I'm not familiar with that area yet, but that's a great point. Really get somewhere it's still kind of organic and natural from its own, its local place. Yeah.
And cheap.
Oh, that's important too. That's really important. It's nice when you
I mean, it's expensive to get there, but I think when you're there, it's definitely a completely different experience. Like because it's not commercialized, like, and there's not many people going from outside. It's definitely a lot easier to move around and to enjoy, and when it's like untapped, like seeing it at its best and its prime is really beautiful.
Oh, that's gonna be great. You said end of August and you're going with your friend. Oh, lovely. Is that gonna be your beach vacation of the year, or is
that'll be my beach vacation of the year? Yeah.
Yeah. So do you do like a winter getaway too? Because remember we were talking about you went to Montreal and the snowball fights and the igloos.
Yeah, I mean, winter getaways, like I'll do weekend getaways. I was in LA end of November last year for a conference. I might do that same conference again this year. And then Montreal for a weekend, but that's very cold. I don't like the cold. I try to stay away from the cold, you know, like it's already too cold here in the city. So I play it by ear. I'm not one of those people to plan things. Even like this trip, I haven't really planned anything out. I'll probably just like figure out the first location and then take it from there.
Can we talk about planning for a sec? I can't stand planning things to an extent where it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just a problem I have, but I feel like it makes the trip stressful. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like I like the freedom of exploring. I think when I go traveling, I just want to explore and learn and see the city like a local. Like, I don't mind walking around in the street and like getting lost in the street. I feel like there's a beauty in that. And then I learn more about the city that way, or the country that way, wherever I am. But I'm not a planner. Like, I know where I'm going. I know what I want to see, like in terms of like an idea of what I want to see. But I'll really play it by ear when I'm there.
Yeah, I think that's best. Or like having a structure where it's like one thing a day and then exploring around that. That's some people do that too.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to enjoy yourself. Like, you don't need to be on a schedule. Like, there's no need. It's vacation. Like, live a little. Be late. Wake up, like, you know, have a late morning. Like, enjoy life.
That's such a good point. Yeah. When growing up, my mom was always like, girl, we got to do this day, that day. And in a way, it's like, you kind of get a lot out of the trip if you're just following what they want to do. My fiance likes to plan a lot, so she's planning a lot of things. And I'm like, whatever you want to do, let's do it. I don't know. Planning really takes away from the planning too much takes away from the
vacation. Planning too much can take away from the magic, for sure.
Yeah, the magic. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. The adventure-esque attitude of it, yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. But at least she's the one who's planning. Like, you don't have to put in the work. You just say yes and you show up and then it's done.
Yeah, and I don't want to be like just completely non-existent. I don't mean it like that, but I'm not going to go on TikTok and research London pubs. I'm just going to try out that pub. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so one thing I like to do is like if I go to a city that I don't know, before I go, I'll look up like Lonely Planet or like Condé Nast Traveler or something like that and see what their recommendation is for a day in. Like, let's say a day in London or a day in Paris, like they'll give you like what they recommend. And then I'll have those places saved in my maps. And then when I get to like the hotel, I'll ask them for like a map, you know, like those tourist maps that they have and kind of like pick a few things and see like which neighborhood I want to explore. And that's how I start. And then once I've ticked off like the major things, then I just get lost. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a really great. What's it called, Lonely Planet?
Lonely Planet, So they're like a travel guide. They have for every country in the world, and then and on a budget. And then Condé Nast is like a higher end travel magazine.
Oh, I like this. Thank you for the tips on that. I'm gonna have to either do my own little looking into it, or I'll pass on the info as well.
And then once you look that up, your Instagram is going to start pushing content too. So then you'll start seeing all that.
Oh, God. That is true. Yeah. That is true. What was this conference that you did in last November that you're going to again today?
So the conference last November was called LA Dental Symposium. It's hosted in LA, downtown LA. I was invited by Dr. Jennifer Haddad, who I've had on the podcast. She is a biomimetic cosmetic dentist. Yes. She is a student of USC and Pascal Manier. So everyone who is like the hosts of that conference are all biomimetic dentists. So, and they're very heavy in research, and they're just like amazing in terms of like the quality of dentistry and the quality of care that they provide. So it was a really beautiful network of people, very humbling group of people, and they host it every year. So last year, Dr. Adamo was one of the speakers, alongside many other international speakers, which was really interesting to see what other people are doing elsewhere, you know, the level of training everyone else has and like what people are experimenting with and researching with. And then they're hosting it again this year. And I think her name is Victoria Sampson. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she was on Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett talking about oral health. And so she's going to be there this year. It'll be an interesting group of people. The people there are all lovely. So I'm excited to do that. I found a really cool community of dentists there when I was there in November last year. So excited about that one.
That's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you book it already? Or that like comes a little bit later maybe?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm last minute. I've already told them that I'm going. Like I've committed to it, like in theory, in idea, but I just haven't booked a ticket.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it's, you got like 5 months or whatever it is. About 5 months. Yeah. So
it seems like so far away. It's crazy. We're July 1st. Like half the year has already gone by and I feel like summer just started. Like how could that be?
Right?
Yeah.
Half of 2025. I guess technically that would, more than half of 2025 is over already.
Yeah. Time flies. Yeah.
Glad we got to, this will be our part two, I guess, right?
This is our part two. Yeah. I'm glad we did it. We were way overdue.
Yeah, we were way overdue. It was a year and a half or more ago that we did that.
Yeah.
That's too long. I know. Ellie. We'll have to make a little, a lot more frequent than this.
We should have regular ones, I think. Or maybe we should do like a round table with some people. I think that would be fun.
Ooh, let's do that. I love the round table. I make the little thing on my podcast called round table because I like to get, let's get everyone involved. Let's get the thoughts and ideas out there.
Yeah. No, I love chatting with you all the time and you have such a great personality and such great energy. We should make this a regular thing. Like every couple months, tap in and see what each other's up to.
And likewise, I mean, I feel like we just share so many ideas between, you know, just that process of finding that career, that day-to-day, that weekly routine, the schedule, the workplaces that you want, everything. We touched on exercise, dieting, you know, and finding that perfect role. We hit on all the things that's like core of maximizing your life, you know? So
yeah, I mean,
we should do this more.
We should do more of these. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's take a look and see who kind of comments and responds to, you know, our podcast posts and stuff. If this really resonates with someone and they would want to come on, let's reach out to them in the comment section in the, you know, on the posts and stuff and see who would want to come on for another one.
I'm all for it.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Ellie, thanks so much. Yeah. Thanks for
having me. Yeah, of course. Tell me.
You send me the file, the ID file, and I'm going to put this on my page too. Does that work?
Yeah, of course. I'll do that. Once it uploads, I'll send it to you.
Perfect. Yes, send me the raw file.
All right, sounds good. All right, Brendan, have an amazing rest of your week, okay? Enjoy your time off, but keep me posted on anything that you do, okay?
Yeah, and you too. You too. Have fun in the end of August on your trip.
All right, I will. All right, we'll be in touch.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.